I'm going to ask you today, if you will, to take out your Bible. Come on, get your Bibles out. I'm building something here. And I want you to go with me to two passages of Scripture. First of all, go with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. And then find for me 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to look at one verse there, verse number 38. Y'all ready for the Word of God this morning? I can't hear you. I said, y'all ready for the Word of God this morning? All right, stand with me as we read this first passage of the Word together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. It's the one hard verse. It is a hard verse in the Bible. No, not really. It's an easy verse. Y'all ready? 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Quench not the Spirit. Say that out loud with me. Quench not the Spirit. Come on, say it again. Quench not the Spirit. Father, bless the reading and the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Keep your Bibles open. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 38. Now, this is the story of Elijah the prophet calling down fire on the prophets of Baal. I know many of you have already heard this story, read this story, but I want to draw something out of this story. Verse number 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Say that out loud. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifices, the wood, the stones, the dust. It licked up the water that was in the trench. Now that's some kind of fire. When it consumes the wood, the rocks, the dust, and all the water, that's some kind of fire, right? Then the fire of the Lord fell. Say it again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust. It licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal and do not let one of them escape. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, the early church, that was ablaze and on fire with the Holy Spirit. They had been ignited on the day of Pentecost with the power of the Holy Spirit. The fire fell at Pentecost, ignited the early church. The early church, look now, was on fire. On fire. And Paul, writing to a church on fire, these words, do not quench the Spirit. The Message translation says, don't suppress the Spirit. The New Living Translation says, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Version, which is the version I'm going to preach from today, and you know why they call it the Amplified Version, don't you? Because it's loud! Right? It's amplified. The Amplified Version says this, do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about being ignited. I want to talk about the fire falling, not just in Pentecost, but the fire falling on us today. And what happens when the fire of God falls on us? Several years ago, there was a story that was told that originated out of Yosemite National Park. They used to have a spectacle in Yosemite called the Firefall. And what they would do is they would gather all the trees that had fallen throughout the year that as a result of storms and death to timber, and they would pile all of these trees up on the granite mountain in Yosemite National Park. There would be this huge stack of trees, and then They would amass all of these bulldozers around this huge stack of trees. They would soak down these trees with gasoline and kerosene, and then they would carefully light it as thousands and thousands of people stood at a safe distance to watch the burning take place on this granite mountain. At a certain point, what they would do is they would take these bulldozers and they would then push these burning logs off the side of the granite mountain, and people described this firefall. They called it the firefall. They would describe the firefall as a cascading waterfall of fire coming down off the mountain. People came from all over the world to be a part of something that was called the firefall. This was a very big deal back in the day. And so there was a person that was young and watched the firefall, and later, years later, he decided that he wanted to take his family back to Yosemite National Park to once again observe the firefall because it was such an unbelievable spectacle. That day, he gathered at the mountain, but nobody else showed up outside of Granite Mountain except a few tourists who were straggling around. And so he realized that evidently something was wrong. They weren't going to have this event. He found a park ranger and he said to the park ranger, he said, are they going to do the firefall tonight? Why aren't there any people gathering? And the park ranger said these words. He said, and I quote, "We don't have the firefall here anymore. No longer is there a bright burning bonfire that falls here anymore." I want you to think about those words for just a moment, because I want us to look at those words in relation to the majority of the church in America. Because I want to tell you that when I got saved at 12 years old, the fire was falling. In the 80s, when I came up through the Pentecostal movement, the Spirit-filled movement, the fire was falling. But sadly, I have to say that we no longer have the fire falling anymore. There's no longer a bright burning of praise and glory in many places of worship. There's no longer joy in the fire of the Holy Ghost taking place in houses of worship anymore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's just a flickering ember of a once red hot fire. Gone is the praise. Gone is the glory. Gone is the enthusiasm and the innocence and the excitement of serving the Lord that I grew up in. I want you to listen to this verse in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 8. This verse is about the five virgins that ran out of oil in the story of the bridegroom coming, and they didn't have oil in their lamps. One translation says this. They said, "Give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out." But one translation says it this way: "Give us your oil, for our flame is dying." Think about those words in relation to the modern church. Dying flames. Flames that were once ignited by the power of God, by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Flames that today no longer burn brightly for God. Their countenance doesn't shine with the fire of God. Flames that used to be are no longer. Their spirit and their light do not shine in a dark world. I'm contending today that we need the fire to fall again. I know they don't do it in Yosemite National Park anymore, but I still believe that God will pour His fire out on congregations that are hungry for Him. We need the fire of God to fall on us again. And that's what we're doing here at the Bend. We're contending for the fire of God. Now, why do we need the fire of God? Well, number one, the fire of God is the symbol of deity. It's the symbol of deity. I want you to listen to these verses real quickly, and I'm just going to hit them real fast. Hebrews 12, 29. Our God is a consuming fire. Say that with me. Our God is a consuming fire. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 2 says that God sets as a reviner's fire and fuller's soap. Isaiah chapter 4, verse number 4 said that the Holy Spirit, listen to me, is the spirit of burning. Say that. He's the spirit of burning. Isn't that something? Isn't that odd that the Holy Ghost would be described as the spirit of burning? Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, talking about Jesus baptizing us. He said, He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Why do we need the fire of God? Because the fire of God is the symbol of God's deity. It is who God is. Our God, listen, is a consuming fire. He's not a boring God. He's not a tame God. He's not a containable God. Come on, somebody. Our God is a consuming fire. It is who God is. The second reason we need the fire of God is because the fire of God is the symbol of acceptance and approval. When they offered an offering unto the Lord, the way that they knew the Lord approved and accepted the sacrifice in the Old Testament is that fire would fall from heaven and would consume that offering. It was the sign, the symbol of acceptance and the approval of God. In Leviticus chapter 9, the Bible says, a fire went out from the presence of the Lord. Say that with me. A fire went out from the presence of the Lord. Come on, one more time. A fire went out from the presence of the Lord, and it consumed the sacrifice. And the people shouted, and they fell on their faces. Don't tell me you can't be emotional in church. When the fire of God comes out of the presence of the Lord, you go to shouting. You go to falling on your face in the presence of the Lord. This fire was the approval and the acceptance of God upon their sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 15, one of my favorite stories where God is cutting covenant with Abraham. The Bible tells you that Abraham split five animals. He laid half on one side, half on the other side. He offered it as a sacrifice to God. And then the Bible makes this statement. There came, quote, a flickering fire. God descended in the form of a flame of fire, and he walked in between the sacrifices. There was nothing but the fire of God in the midst of the sacrifices. God was saying to Abraham, I accept and I approve this sacrifice. When the father of Solomon, this is amazing, offered God a sacrifice, the Bible said that the fire shot out of the rock, and the scripture said that an angel came down and danced in the fire. My God, I feel something rolling up on me. Whenever Samson's father offered the sacrifice, the fire of God showed up, consumed the sacrifice, and out of a rock, and the angel of the Lord came down and danced in the middle of the fire. I wonder what would happen today if we would let the fire of God fall on us to such a degree that angels would start dancing in the midst of the fire of God in this room. Come on, anybody in here want that kind of fire? I want it. It was a sign of God's acceptance. It was a sign of God's approval. Why do we need the fire of God? Finally, number three, the fire of God is a symbol of God's presence. It's the symbol of God's presence. Wherever God was, there was always a demonstration of fire. In Zechariah chapter 2, listen to what God said about Jerusalem. He said, I will be unto Jerusalem a wall of fire round about them, and the glory of the Lord in the midst of her. I want the fire of God because the fire of God is a wall of protection around me so that no weapon formed against me by the enemy can prosper. You say, well, I don't want to be on fire. That's all right. You're a target for the devil. But I want the fire of God to protect me. It's the symbol of God's presence. When the children of Israel walked through the wilderness, the Bible said that God led them by a pillar of fire. They couldn't see it. The enemies couldn't see it, but God's people could see it. There was a fire over the nation of Israel and the people of Israel in the wilderness, and they followed that fire, and that fire led them, and the fire had a guiding effect. The fire had an illuminating effect. The fire had a warming effect. The fire had an energizing effect upon God's people. It was the sign of God's presence. Let me tell you, you want to be energized? Get the fire to fall. Come on, somebody say, we need the fire to fall. We need the fire to fall on us again. You see, the only fire that some churches have left right now is in the kitchen. There's no fire in the pulpits. There's no fire in the pews. There's no more fire in our singing. There's no more fire in choirs. There's no more fire in people's prayers. There's no more fire in our praise. Come on. We need the fire to fall again. One preacher, the greatest preacher considered by some of all time, Charles Spurgeon, said this: put some fire in the sermon, or put the sermon in the fire. We don't need any dead, weak preachers in the pulpit anymore. We need men and women who are on fire. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise in this house. We need the fire of God. Lord, I'd love for your fire to ignite my soul. That's what I need to be praying. We need the fire of God. Listen, when programs have replaced passion and power, we need the fire of God. When worship becomes mechanical and predictable, come on, somebody, we need the fire of God. When we're bathed in immorality and our hearts are no longer convicted by the world that we live in, it's time for the fire to fall again in America. When nudity is called art, and believers are okay with it invading their homes, we need the fire of God to fall again in America. When 50% of all marriages end up in catastrophe of divorce, we need the fire to fall again. When in 2020 we close over 4,000 churches and 50% of America's pastors resigned, we need the fire to fall again. Come on, everybody, lift your hands in this room and say, Lord, let your fire fall. Timothy said in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said, stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. One translation says, rekindle the fire that is within you. One translation says, fan into flame the fire of God. We not only need the fire, we need God to blow on the fire. We need that fire to become a bonfire that blazes. We need fire that comes from the Lord. Yes. Don't we? Yes. But even if God gives us fire today, we got to keep it burning. Did you know God will send the fire, but you and I have got to put wood on the fire? Proverbs chapter 26 verse 20 says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Say that with me. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Come on, say it again. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Isn't that profound? Isn't it profound that if you don't put wood on a fire, it's just a matter of time before all you have is a pile of ashes? And some of you that are listening to me today, all you are is a pile of ashes right now. You used to be on fire, but you hadn't put any wood on the fire in a long time. You still come to church. Oh, you might even still give in the offerings, but there's no wood on the fire. All you are is just a big tinderbox of ashes. You say, what's putting wood on the fire? Bible reading is putting wood on the fire. Prayer is me putting wood on the fire. Praise, come on somebody, is putting wood on the fire. People say, why in the world y'all got to be so radical in praise and worship? Because I'm throwing wood on the fire of God. I'm fanning to flame the fire that is inside my soul. Living holy, doing the right things, is putting wood on the fire. Forgiving your enemies that have hurt you is putting wood on the fire. Resisting temptation when nobody's looking is putting wood on the fire. Come on, I want everybody in this room, stand up with me all over this room. Stand up this room right now. And on the count of three, I want you to clap your hands and give God a praise. Come on, let the fire fall on my soul again, Holy Spirit. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Put a little wood on the fire. Be seated. I'm not responsible for anybody that gets hurt in this illustration. You say, what are you doing, Pastor? I'm doing what God's doing at the bend. I'm lighting a fire. Come on. Anybody want God to light the fire? See, I want the fire of God. But let me tell you what I've learned. You get a good fire going in church, and you got Brother Downer. And he comes to put out the fire. Have you ever noticed that? You go back out in the world starts beating up on you, you get the fire of God going, and God starts putting out, or people start putting out the fire, work puts out the fire, right? You get at home, and here comes your wife, and she's mad at you, and she puts out the fire. Huh? Y'all act like y'all don't know, y'all think I won't do it? This is the way we do church. This is the way most churches are. About the time the Spirit of God starts moving and we could have a tongue, an interpretation, or a prophecy, or somebody gets healed, or somebody gets delivered, here comes a good preacher or a deacon that just wants to put out the fire. We don't want the fire to get too intense. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get everybody wet in here. You, listen, why are some of you offended about getting wet? Some of y'all been so wet and waterlogged for so long. You haven't been on fire in so long. You need God. Come on. Somebody in this room says, let the fire. Quench not the Spirit of God. Listen, you come to church on Sunday, worship's good. You get on fire. If you're not careful before you get out the door, the devil will get on your back, quenching the fire. Man, I'm talking about the presence of God. I've been in churches where God start healing the sick. I've been in churches where I saw blind eyes open and legs, literal legs lengthen out. God starts straightening up scoliosis spines. I've been in those churches. And before I could get even out the door into my car, there'd be some deacon that would come along and say, Pastor, those drums were too loud. And I just couldn't enter into the presence of God. I'm talking about I've been in some demonstrations of the Spirit of God where the Spirit of God would come in so strong that literally people that couldn't stand by reason, like the Bible talked about, they would just fall on their faces and start weeping. People just all the worship team couldn't even play. Am I telling the truth, son? They couldn't even play. They just everybody would stop and there would just be a sound of a roar of worship out of the hearts of the people going through the sanctuary. And before I could get out to my car, there'd be some old saint say, well, Pastor, I'm mad because somebody sat in my seat and they were going to put out the... Huh? What you laughing about? It's been a long time since I've seen a youth pastor on fire. Been a long time since I've seen young people on fire. Come on, is anybody tired of old Debbie Downer always coming to church, always... I wish I had about 30 people at the bend this morning that would say, God, let the fire fall again. Let the fire fall again. Now, if you get quiet on me, I'll go to shooting again. Somebody say, let the fire fall. Whew. How many of you in here would like a brand new touch of fire? I'm telling you, fam, that's what we got to have. It's time for the fire to fall. Because the fire of God will heal our families. The fire of God will burn out addiction. The fire of God will destroy habits. The fire of God will give deliverance to people who have got demons clinging to them and keeping them bound. There's something about the fire of God, Paul learned, that makes the snake run. You want to make the snake run in your life? Get the fire of God in your life. Get on fire and burn. Come on, somebody. Get on fire and burn. We're not going to be like every other church in town. We're going to be on fire. Ignite me, God. Ignite me, God. Put a match to me today. Don't let me walk out of here and be the same person I was. I see y'all wiping all the water off your face. I hope the fire of God falls and licks up all the water that I just sprayed in the room. Right? Say, let the fire fall.
Let the fire fall.
Did you know Jeremiah must have been a spirit-filled guy? He must have had a Pentecostal fever. Listen to what he said. He said, I've got the word in me, and it's like a fire shut up in my bones. He was a preacher. running a temperature. Now all we have in church is a bunch of hot heads, but what we need is some hot hearts. I've got the word of God in me, and it's a fire shut up in my bones. While I'm preaching, there ought to be something igniting you on the inside and creating a fire in your soul. Isaiah said the same thing. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and an angel came, took a coal off the fire of the altar of God, touched his lips, and set his mouth on fire. Listen, God wants to set you on fire. God wants to put you on fire to such a degree that you can't keep your mouth shut about the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm preaching better than y'all amen in me this morning. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, talking with Jesus, the Bible says their hearts did burn within them. When you encounter Jesus, you get on fire. Something burns in you. John the Baptist had the fire. John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way of the Lord, had the fire. Listen, people came out of the cathedrals to the caves to hear the word of God. It ain't the biggest building in town that people are looking for. They'll leave all those cathedrals to come to a cave like this if they can just find some place that has the fire of God. Fire is necessary. If you ask anthropologists, they'll tell you the two greatest discoveries in the history of the world is fire and the wheel. They changed the world. Fire is necessary for growth. Now, I've got some California friends in here, so I'm going to tell all of you something that they probably already know, but some of them don't even know this. But did you know that in California, where the great redwood trees grow, I've been to the redwood forest many times, over and over again. Every year that I go to California, I'll go up to the redwood forest. Pam and I'll walk around in mirror woods and the redwood trees, and they're just beautiful and spectacular and majestic. But did you know that in California, where those great redwood trees grow, they had a problem many years ago because they were becoming extinct? Rangers had gotten so careful and so afraid of the fire. Y'all better listen to me now. I want everybody looking right here in the eyeball. Had gotten so careful and so afraid of the fire with all the modern technology. Every time a lightning strike would happen, it would start a fire in the redwood forest, and they would run and they would snuff out the fire. They would do it quickly. But what they realized sometime later is the reason the redwood forest was going extinct is because they weren't letting the fire burn. Oh my God, I'm about to preach up in here. What they found was the quicker you put out the fire, you didn't give the fire enough time to burn the crustacean that is actually on the seeds that had fallen off the tree onto the ground. So because the seeds were so crusted, they couldn't germinate, right, so that new trees were able to spring up, right, and they couldn't germinate in the ground. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say to you today. Before the park rangers had all the technology, and before there was all these modern things that they had to control the fire, what would happen is that lightning would strike in the forest, start a fire, and that fire would burn and get hotter and hotter and hotter. And all the seeds that had fallen, the fire would get so hot that it would burn the callousness off the outside of that seed. The hardness of the seed would be burned off, and then the seed would be able to germinate in a new crop, and a new generation of redwoods would spring up. But when, yeah. Hallelujah, you're going to have to give me a chord. Give me a flat because I'm half black. Come on, somebody. But when they started putting the fire out and not letting it burn hot, they noticed that the next generation of trees were too hard-hearted to spring up. Y'all ain't understanding what I'm saying today. They learned to control and manipulate the fire. And as long as they manipulated the fire, a generation would die unfruitful. Y'all still ain't hearing what I'm saying right now. And what we have right now going on in the body of Christ is a bunch of firefighters who call themselves preachers and spiritual leaders who have all the modern technology, all the new gadgets that should be igniting a greater fire in us. But what we've learned how to do is manipulate the fire. We've learned how to control the fire. So what happens in a service, God comes along, the Holy Spirit falls, and the power of God hits a service. Lightning hits, and instead of letting it burn and burn and getting hotter and hotter, what we do is we walk around and try to control it. Well, you know what? You don't need to do that because the lost won't understand what's going on in the service. Or you know what? You don't need to do that because that might create a little confusion or a little chaos. And we're trying to manipulate the fire. The problem is our God is a consuming fire. You can't, oh, come on, somebody. You can't manipulate the fire of God. And so what we've done in the modern church, here I go, give my keys now. What we've done in the modern church is we've so manipulated the fire that now we've got a whole generation of new trees in the Holy Ghost that should be coming up. In 2020, 4,000, think about this, son, 4,000 churches closed in 2020 during the middle of a pandemic. In America alone, 4,000 churches. Barna recently did a survey in November, and 50% of the pastors in America said if they could find a way to quit the ministry, they would quit today. When asked why they want to quit, they said it's because the people don't want it anymore. Well, I'm not one of those preachers, and I'm not quitting it. I come to say, let the fire fall in America. Let the fire fall at the bend. Let the fire fall on my grandbabies. Let the fire fall on my marriage. Let the fire fall on my worship team. Let the fire fall. I want the fire to fall. We've manipulated God right out of our churches. Sit down. I'm not done. We've manipulated God right out of our churches. And then we wonder why a generation don't want to come. There's nothing here for them to see. They come, but all they hear is the park ranger say, the fire don't fall here anymore. Well, I done preached myself out of breath. Excuse me for a moment. I'm 52. I got to breathe. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? When I was coming up in church, and I hate to be nostalgic, but I'm just going to reach back for a little bit. If you don't like it, hike it. Right? I'm preaching. It's my story. I'm telling it like I know it. When I was in church, the lost would come to church on Sunday night because it was considered at the Pentecostal church the best show in town. Do you know why they called it the best show? Because what would happen is lightning would hit. Come on. We'd be worshiping. We didn't even have good music. We didn't have screens, nothing. And I mean, and Sister Smith, she'd get up and she couldn't sing her way out of a wet paper bag. Somebody just start singing, man. Lightning would hit. Boom. People would jump up, get so excited, they'd run into walls. Am I telling the truth? They'd run into walls. You say, well, that's just weird. That's just weird. I wish we'd get a little bit of weird back in church. They'd run into walls. I've watched people jump up, Danny, and just take off running around the church. And other people chase them, see what they're after. Some of them under the Holy Ghost, some of them just running after somebody who was running. I'm telling the truth. The fire of God would fall, and our young people would be so inebriated by the presence of God. I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Presence of God would get them so inebriated by the power of God, you'd have to pick them up and carry them to the car. And they'd be out all night long praying in the Holy Ghost. It was out of those movements in the early days that TBN and other great spirit-filled movements began to spring up in America. Worldwide Christian television was birthed out of, it wasn't birthed out of some mamby-pamby, dead, dried up, twice dead, weak, 3 points and a poem. We didn't have 30-minute services. People tell me, say, well, we have a 60-minute service. 60 minutes. Sunday night was 6 hours. Am I telling the truth? You would start at 6 o'clock, and you were lucky if you got out of there at 12 o'clock midnight. Nobody was worried about their kids the next morning in school, because you know what we learned? We learned that a little bit of time in the presence of God under the power of the Holy Ghost made them get up earlier, made them go to school and learn better. I'm talking about people would come from all over the place to watch us crazy, spirit-filled folks. And the next thing you know, you'd see crack on the platform, liquor on the platform, all kinds of stuff, people just bringing. I can remember us having trash cans and people bringing cassette tapes of ungodly music. Y'all remember that? I mean, it's this guy that went around playing back records backwards, called backmasking. I remember he played Back in Black. At AC/DC, he played back, start to smoke marijuana. Like, oh God, I'm going to hell. And we were having bonfires of cassette tapes and dirty magazines. Anything that we felt like offended God. You say, well, what made those young people do that? I'll tell you what made us do it. It wasn't the preacher preaching on it. It was the presence of God, the sign of deity, the sign of acceptance of God's approval. The presence of God would come in fire, and we would run to the altars. We wonder today why our children don't want to come to church. When's the last time they saw anything like that? They get a better show at home. Breathe. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say, let the fire fall.
Let the fire fall.
Conviction comes when the fire of the Holy Spirit begins to fall in a church. Conviction comes. You don't have to preach on sin. When the Holy Ghost shows up, He convicts the world of sin. Let me close with this. Look at me. We are people of fire. I'm talking about you and me. Y'all, yuns. Is that mountain enough for you? We're people of fire. We were born in the fire. Born in the fire. And you're going to be in the fire one way or the other. You're either going to be in the fire of the Holy Ghost or you're going to be in the fires of affliction. But you're not going to be able to live without fire. Here's what my prayer has been. God, send the fire. Send the fire. And that's the reason I've been preaching like I'm preaching. You all notice I kind of shifted. I went out of teaching mode. I'm in revival mode now. I want the fire of God. If you want it, stand to your feet all over this room. Worship team, come real quickly to the platform. I want the fire of God. I want the fire of God. I want the fire of God. Son, that second song that you sang, I want us to go into that. Hallelujah. Now listen, if you aren't right with Jesus, my first goal today is to get everybody in here who's not right with Jesus, right with Jesus. It's simple. All you got to do is just say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe He's the Son of God. He died for my sin. And I want Him in my heart and life. I want Him to be Lord. That's how simple it is to be right with Jesus. So get your heart right now. In just a moment, I'm going to open up these altars, this aisleway. This worship team is getting ready to go to worship. I'm not going to lay hands on nobody. I'm just going to let you find a place in God. We got 15 minutes before we got to get out of here. And then after that, we just got to make room and make space for more people. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to break loose? Turn the house lights down. Turn the house lights down. For those of you who are watching online right now, if you're watching, the presence of God is right there where you're at. We've got people in the chat room right now to pray for you. If you have a need, if you have prayer, we're going to pray for you. It's our way of digitally laying hands on you the best way that we can right now. Listen, if you're hungry for the fire, get out of your seat. Come on. Let's find a place in the altar. Let's bring the sacrifice to the altar. Let's bring the sacrifice of praise to the altar. Let's bring the sacrifice of praise to the altar. Hallelujah. Light a fire in me, God. Light a fire in me, God. If you run out of space, you can just stand in the aisles. It don't matter.
Created from dust. You came and you lived among us. Lord, you took on our frame.
And bring that
walked
sacrifice.
In our pain.
Bring the sacrifice.
Now you're taking us higher. And you stepped into time. And you laid down your life to save us. You took all our shame, and on the cross it was laid.
Yeah.
Now you're taking us higher, and we go from glory to glory to glory.
Think about
we'll
it.
Never be the same. We'll never be the same. Oh, we go from glory to glory to glory. We're forever changed, forever changed. And you call me a friend, called into your endless kingdom.
Woo!
By the blood I was made.
This is what the fire will do.
The victor has won, and now heaven has come. Now you're taking us higher. Come on, sing that with me. Now you're taking.
Now you're taking
us.
Come on, let's go higher. Let's go higher.
Somebody lift up. burn us brighter and brighter and brighter.
Oh, yeah.
You burn us brighter and brighter and brighter. You burn us brighter and brighter and brighter. You burn us brighter, brighter, brighter.
Say this out. Lift those hands all over the room. Say this out loud. Say, Lord, let the fire fall on me. Jesus, let the fire fall on me, Jesus. And Lord, we'll bring the wood to the table. Set it on fire. We don't want manufactured fire. We don't want the fire of man. We want the fire of God. So one more time, we're going to pray this out loud together. Say, Lord, let your fire fall on me. In Jesus' name. Now, come on, I want us to give God a praise in this room. Can we do it? Amen. Well, we got a whole nother group coming to get set on fire. I'm excited. I'm about so tore up. I just want to stay and keep on going. We got a whole nother group coming to be set on fire. I love you guys. Wednesday night. Please don't miss Wednesday night. I promise you, this is one of the best worship people you've ever had. And I'm telling you, I need you to make Cookeville aware of what we got coming, all right? Because they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. On your way out, touch three people and tell them, I hope you got on fire today. I hope you got on fire today, and I need you to burn. I love you. Go get your kids. Get out of the parking lot. We need the space.